Gospel of John, chapter 20. If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
Aaron, you got there yet? It's good. It's on page 917. There you go. All right. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Everybody say fear, if you would. They were together, locked away, because they were afraid of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "Neener, neener, neener." No. The other disciples told him, "Where were you, dude? Jesus came." The other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, put my hands in his side, I'll not believe it." And a week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And this is a summary verse of the Gospel of John. Two verses. Gospel of John, chapter 20, 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing that you might have life in his name. And Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord. Some of us just creeping along, just living in death. Lord, we come this morning, Lord. We come this morning desiring to see you high and lifted up, Lord. We come in here this morning, Lord, to see you, to transform our situations, Lord. That you would give life where there is only death, Lord. That you would give sustenance where there is only want, Lord. That you would bring provision where there is only lack, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, where you have visited and you have come and brought that life, that you bring new strength, Lord, to overcome the challenges of our day, Lord. That we would not live in fear, Lord. That we would put our eyes upon heaven, Lord, and live in expectation and anticipation of the great and mighty things, Lord, that you would do among us, Lord. And we would give you that. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Well, God is good. Amen? Disciples were sitting in this house in fear. And I was thinking of that this morning, and I was thinking of that night when the power went out. Remember, what was that? Was it 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago. Is it just a distant memory now? Do you remember that, though? How many of you were in town? Some of you guys are from out of town. Elsie's relatives. Man, I tell you what, all of Southern California, south of Orange County, no power. How many of you guys were tripping a little bit? Going, "Oh, man, traffic's messed up, can't get no gas, man, I was on empty." And my sister-in-law was visiting. And she was tripping hard. You know why? How are we going to make coffee in the morning? I tell you, when she travels, she brings like two or three different kinds of Starbucks. Because she has to have her kids work at Starbucks. I think just so she can get kickback on the coffee. But she is a coffee fiend. How are we going to make coffee? And we're out grilling, right? Because we got no power and everything. And there's a burner on the side of the grill. And she's going, "I guess we could make coffee on the grill." She's just going, "Man, I got to have my coffee." And some of us sitting around in them dark rooms, dark homes, just going, can't we get back to normal? Disciples sitting there in that room going, oh, man, hopes are crushed, dreams are crushed. They've been following Jesus for 3 years. Can't we just get back to normal? Their hope was gone. Their fears, their lives are turned around because the death of Jesus. Maybe you've experienced the death of a loved one. And it changes everything. The death of Jesus had changed everything for them. Their hope for a future, gone. Turned around. They were forced to reevaluate their lives. They're forced to reevaluate the purpose and the future that they had expected in following. They were forced to reevaluate all their beliefs that have been reworked because of the words of our Lord. And as they sat there that day, they were just hoping for a new normal. Get us back, Lord, to what we are expecting. How do we deal with this? And they're in this house, doors are locked, living in fear. And Jesus shows up and brings a new normal. Folks, if you were coming in here this morning hoping to get back to what you had, you are in the wrong place. If you are in here this morning hoping God is going to repair your life to this previous point and make it just a little bit better so that you can be happier, you are in the wrong place. If you come in here today thinking, my past I can leave behind and I am looking for a new future, I am looking for a new hope, you have come to the right place this morning. Because our Lord Jesus Christ will reveal himself to you this morning and give you a new hope, and give you a new future, and give you a new normal. We are studying a series on the reality of the resurrection, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has changed everything. Amen? Amen. All right. Point number one. Reading the first half of the verse. It was the evening of that first day of the week. It was Easter night. It was the night that Jesus was raised from the dead. Anybody need the notes, put your hand up. We got them done late. Jean's gone. Is she going to be back next week, Jimmy, next Sunday? I hope. It was a tough morning this morning. I had to do all Jean's work. I couldn't figure it out. All right. On the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, the disciples were living in fear. You know anybody living in fear? There's some funky stuff going out there. We got recession. We got depression. We got all kinds of stuff going on. We got terrorists running around. People living in fear. Sunday night, Easter night. And we talked about it last week. Mary Magdalene had brought the message of the resurrected Christ to the disciples. That morning, I have seen Jesus raised from the dead. And it had no impact. They were huddled in fear. The message of the resurrection of Christ had no impact on the life of the disciples. And some of the people that we know today, the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ has no impact. There are some that would rather stay home and watch NFL football. There are some to which it does not mean anything. And these guys huddled in fear of who? The Jews who had taken Jesus. And they were worried that they were going to come and take them too. Luke tells us that Jesus had appeared to two disciples, Cleopas and one other disciple. And they are actually bringing the report. We've seen Jesus. Still no impact. And there are those that the message of the gospel will have no impact. And I hope you sit here today impacted by the message of the cross, impacted by the message of the tomb, the empty tomb, that Jesus indeed has been raised from the dead. Amen? They were without hope and without purpose. And rather than grab on to the message of Christ raised from the dead, they grabbed onto their pain. And they grabbed onto their problems. And there's some that are here today that your pain is so great and your problems are so great, when the message of Christ comes, you can't let go. It's like you're gripped on to the issues of your life like these guys. And you live your life in fear. You live your life in lack. And Jesus says, I'm right here. You don't have to live like that anymore. Recession, depression, terrorist, no money. A lot of people living in fear out there. Living in fear? How do you respond to fear? Jesus will offer you something else. Jesus brings peace. Jesus brings fullness. Jesus brings calm in the midst of the storm. Jesus came and stood among them in the locked house. Didn't have any keys. Can I get a witness on that? Like he came through the walls, came through the roof, he came through something, just kind of appeared amongst them. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. He used the word shalom, translated into the Greek, Irene, where we get the name Irene. Anybody named Irene here? Irene, means peace. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The Lord brought a message of peace. Shalom. Now, when you think of peace, in English, when I hear the word peace, I think of harmony. Right? Like a peaceful setting, like a little babbling brook. It's so peaceful here. It's so harmonious here. Are you feeling me on that? That's not the way it works in the Greek. That's not the way it works. Realistically, that core meaning that we are talking about today comes from the word shalom. And it talks about safety. Shalom. And when someone says to Enrique, a Jew would come to Enrique and say, shalom, he means safety. And he also carries with it the meaning of completeness. Fullness and completeness and safety to you. Now, to somebody who is living in fear, harmony means something entirely different than safety and completeness and fullness. Amen? So he comes in their midst, and they're like freaking out. The other gospel accounts tell us that they were, whoa, what is this? And Jesus says, shalom. Fullness, completeness to you. John is full of this. Back to John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Shalom I leave with you. My shalom I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Why does Jesus say that? Because he knew that they would be dwelling in fear. Why does that message work for us today? Because we can become afraid. We can doubt. We can live with less than completeness, less than safety, and less than fullness. And in the midst of those doubts and concerns, Jesus says, shalom. Amen? A couple other things I notice about this. That Jesus came near to them. He stood right among them. Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered, that Jesus is right here in the midst of us. That there is an incredible dynamic that happens in this place as we gather in his name, that would happen in your home as you put a focus on Jesus Christ, that he would come and be right in the midst of you, and he would have a message of shalom. Completeness. Safety, fullness. And the other thing that he does is he brings a verification. He says, look at my hands. This is Sunday night. This is Easter night. They hung him on a cross on Friday. They pounded nails into his hands on Friday. So as he showed them those nail marks in his hands, the memory of the nails going into his hands would have been fresh. He said, look at my side. Why did he show him the side? Thieves didn't have nothing in their side. Amen? Thieves had broken legs. Jesus had no broken legs. Jesus had a slash in his side where the guard had pierced him, and the water and the blood had come out as a proof that he was indeed dead, because the water was separating from his blood. That's why he showed him the side. It's me. There's not too many people, but there's a few that got nails in their hands. But I'm the only one with a slash in his side. And so because of the message and because of his proximity and because of the verification, there was joy. That makes sense? Friday, talk about Friday night. It's when Jesus was crucified. This Friday night, wasn't thinking about the crucifixion of Jesus. They're thinking about football. Joe playing football against the Tigers. This is someplace in Ohio, high school football game. Place was not that packed. But I walked up to the, when I was in high school, it was cheaper. I mean, it's like $2. I go up there to get in, and I was meeting Lisa there. She wasn't there yet. And I walk up, and I said, hi there. And she goes, $7. And I said, student ticket. And she said, you got student ID? I said, no, I'll take an adult. I didn't have validation. Jesus had validation, authentication. When he showed up, when he shows up in your life, he will reveal himself for who he truly is. And because he is who he is, his words have value. Amen? Amen. Talk about a new normal today. All right, point number two. Resisting the message. How many people you know resist the message of the cross? Resist the message of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is just too big for their minds to grasp, or their minds are just too small to grab on to the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Bible says, now Thomas called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. How'd you like to go through life? Yeah, Jesus showed up, but I wasn't there. It would have had a new name. It wouldn't be Thomas the Doubter. It'd be Thomas the Missed Out Guy. Right? Oh, yeah. I went out to the taco shop, and Jesus showed up while I was gone. What do you got going on that you're going to miss out when Jesus does something? What little trivia? I don't know. You know, I'll tell you what. I don't know what Thomas had going on. But I cannot imagine anything in the history of mankind that would be worthwhile enough to miss out on the physical appearance of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness on that? And I tell you what, sometimes they say, oh, you know, I got this going on, I'm just going to skip. Oh, I got that going on, I'm just going to miss. That's what Thomas did. Don't be like Thomas. Don't miss. I tell you what, I'm digressing here. Worship team's got this new song. Jesus, My Redeemer. I like that song. How many of you guys like that song? How many of you don't even know what it is because you weren't here? I was hanging with Thomas this morning. We were late. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. What? He was right here, man. No way. I got the burritos for everybody, man. No. All right. Said them, unless I see, he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Thomas responds in doubt. Thomas responds in doubt. Many of our lives are marked with doubt. Many of our lives are marked with confusion. Now, Thomas was a good guy. Thomas followed Jesus for 3 years. Check it out. Back in chapter 11. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we might die with him. Thomas was a sold-out guy. Maybe a little outspoken. You know, I don't know how genuine he was here. Maybe he's trying to make a point. Maybe a little pessimistic. But he was genuine. He was sold out for the Lord. Now, I want you to also notice that what Thomas was asking for was only what the other disciples got. The other disciples got that. He wanted it too. He said, I want to experience what you experienced. I missed it. Now, Thomas might have been a little outspoken, and Thomas might have been a little pessimistic. But one thing, all right, are you ladies going to be able to not look at that child? Elsie, do me one favor. Just move back one chair, okay? No, it was Erica too. It was all the women, and then all the women back there looking at that little baby. You go sit by the soundboard. There you go. Yeah, yeah, back there in the corner. Yeah, that's good. That's good. There's no way I can compete with a baby. I don't even try. All right, I got to find out where I was. Oh, Thomas might have been outspoken. Thomas might have been a little pessimistic. But one thing, Thomas was specific. If I see the nail marks in his hands, and if I put my hands, my fingers in them and my hands in his side, I will believe. What's it going to take for you to believe? Are you, I don't know. That whole Jesus stuff is a little confusing for me. Thomas at least knew what it would take for him to believe. My question for you is, what's it going to take for Jesus to do for you today to turn your life over to him? What is it going to take for Jesus to do for you to let go of your desires and start grabbing onto his desires? Because I tell you what, those disciples could have just stayed in that room. And we got some people that are staying in lives of fear rather than trusting God and grabbing onto his hand. What's it going to take for you to deal with your doubt? Because if you can make a list, Jesus can deal with doubt. Jesus got no problem dealing with doubt. If you're real, he's real. Can I get a witness on that? You got a list? You got a list? He worked that list. Look what he did for Thomas. A week later, had to wait a week. I bet that was a long week. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, I missed out on Jesus. Oh. A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. And though the doors were locked, again, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Shalom. Peace be with you. And he said to Thomas, Thomas, said, Enrique, right here. Put your finger in. Here's my side. I doubt that Jesus was mocking him. I doubt that Jesus was bitter. I think Jesus said, my son, here I am for you. Put your fingers here. Put your side here. Stop doubting and believe. Find a new focus, a new future. I doubt it was much of a challenge for Jesus. Holes were already there. Side was already cut. It was easy for Jesus. Here I am, scoreboard. It's me, so to speak, in the flesh. It's easy for Jesus to do because it's easy for Jesus to be Jesus. And Jesus has the nail marks in his hand. And Jesus has the cut in his side. He says, here I am. It's easy for God to reveal truth to you. Amen? Now, where we get into difficulty if we started clouding up lies and deceit with truth. Jesus had no problem. Put your hand in my side. There's already a hole there. Thing with God, God's message is backed up with truth. You can verify it. You can step into it. You can even poke into it. And he said, Thomas, let's get this over with. Put your hand in my side so we can move on. My question, I'm wondering today, what's keeping you from moving on? What is holding you back? I don't know. I'm not really ready to give my whole life to the Lord. What's it going to take? Thomas knew. Thomas was a doubter. But he gave it up. Now, what do you have to give up? Now, Thomas might have been pessimistic. Thomas might have been outspoken. Thomas was specific. One other thing I noticed about Thomas, he was in danger. He was in danger. Jesus says, stop doubting and believe. And that's kind of an English translation. Maybe Roki could help me out with a little Hebrew, Greek kind of thing. Let me tell you how it is more accurately translated. He says, stop becoming an unbeliever. Stop becoming an unbeliever and become a believer. He was in danger. His doubt was putting him in line to go a place that he didn't want to go. And some of us are lined up on places that are going to take us where we shouldn't really want to go. Stop becoming an unbeliever. You are in danger of ending up in a bad place. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas was headed no place good, and Jesus stopped him and guided him to safety, guided him to shalom. Amen? Some of us dallying with the wrong stuff. Some of us in danger of becoming something we shouldn't become. What entices you? What reaches out and grabs you and says, come this way. Stop becoming an unbeliever. Stop doing what you're doing or catastrophe will come upon you. We've had some enticement in my house lately. You're thinking, oh my. Yes. Banana cake. Oh yeah. Be sitting right there, you know, and as it sits whole, you know, it's kind of safe. Don't cut that thing. It's whole. And then the children, they ain't having any of that. They just cut right into that thing, and all of a sudden, ooh. And you know, see, I got diabetes. I'm not supposed to be having that stuff. And I come along and I just take a knife and I don't take a whole slice because that's bad for me. But what I do is I just take like a little edge of an edge. You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's kind of like just take, you know, it's like a cookie. You just take a quarter of a cookie, right? I don't want to be bad. I'm just going to take a quarter of that cookie. And you know, doesn't that three quarters of that cookie just laying there on that plate mock you? Just mock you? It's like only three quarters left, man. I'm going to take the other half, make it into a half. Jesus said, stop becoming an unbeliever, right? And I'll be walking by that cake, man, and it is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, right? Why? Because I'm walking by that enticement. Ooh, that's good. Just kind of level it up. Nobody will know I've been eating it. Now, I don't know what your enticement is. I don't know what is screaming out to you, just saying, just a little bit. But the Lord says, stop becoming an unbeliever. Just get rid of that stuff. Get rid of that fear. Get rid of that past. I'm not going to fix your past. I'm going to give you a new future. Quit asking me to repair what you got back there. I'm going to toss what you got back there, and we're moving into a new future. Quit trying to grab onto it. What's grabbing onto you? Stop becoming an unbeliever. Amen? All right. You'd be just sliding right down to hell. That guy looks like he's having a good old time. That's what he looks like. Yeah, a little banana cake. Yay! Yay! That's a picture of Thomas. Stop becoming an unbeliever. Make sense? Oh, it's quiet. Okay, here we go. Transformed by the truth. See, the truth will transform your future. The truth will transform your heart and will allow you to respond to the Lord in fullness. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." He's talking about us. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thomas was responding to the Lord, no longer responding in doubt, but responding in truth and trust of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he called him my Lord and my God, he was worshiping him. On Wednesday night, I'm doing a series on spiritual disciplines. Last 2 weeks, we've been doing worship. And worship is the proper response to the Lord Jesus Christ when he is manifest among us. Amen? And so that's what Thomas was doing. My Lord and my God. Now, these were loaded words. I say, my Lord and my God. And, so what? I've been hearing Lord and God. I mean, people cuss with those words. Lord and God, big whoop. It was a massive deal back then. These words were loaded by the culture. Matthew 26, 63 through 65. Jesus remained silent. He is being questioned by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious rulers of the day. And he said, the high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, it is as you say. And the response of that high priest was to begin to tear his clothes. Blasphemy. He says, the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look now, you have heard the blasphemy. I've struggled with this today. And in preparation for this, to try to convey these loaded words to you, loaded by the culture. We have words that are loaded. One word that nobody wants to be called these days is a racist. I'm not a racist. It's a loaded word. There are derogatory terms. I mean, if I said spick, somebody would go, whoa, hey. If I said queer, the name of the Lord was so holy in the Old Testament, it could not even be written. Just the consonants with alternate spellings could not even be written, could not be spoken. Yehovah, Jehovah, is the mispronunciation of the word Yahweh because it was so holy they would not even pronounce it correctly. And so when he said, you are the, he said, I am, when he said, I am the Christ, and when Thomas said, you are the Son of God, snapped every head in the room. It was not said. And like we have words that are so loaded that we don't speak them. One such word is the N-word. It is so loaded in our culture. that if I said that word, several of you might walk out of here this morning. And I want you to understand that when Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," it was that loaded. And our Lord responded by saying, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you because you have seen. More blessed are those who will believe and have not seen." Does that make sense? I hope I've not offended anyone. I try to do that in a respectful way, but I really sought to try to convey what these words meant as they were being said, because there are those who would say, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, if he wasn't God, he would have told Thomas to just shut up right there. Oh, no, you're off base, bro. No. He said, no. He said, right on, Thomas, and you're doing good. You're doing fine. Thomas figured it out. And figuring it out is what the whole Gospel of John is about. He says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you might believe, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Jesus did all kinds of other stuff, but these are recorded for a purpose. Jesus wrote this so that the disciples could believe. And they're recorded so that we can believe. And we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to be afraid of a depression, a recession, terrorists, government taking our money, government collapsing. Because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Last thing. And I know it's pretty heavy right now. The believers received, the disciples received the Holy Spirit. I'm going to end with this. Jesus again said, this is back 10 verses. Jesus said, "Peace with you, as the Father has sent me." He says, "I'm sending you." He says, "I'm doing a thing amongst you for a purpose. I came back off the cross to visit you for a purpose. As the Father sent me to go through all these challenges, I'm sending you out." Other places in the Bible, he says, you are going to do more things than me because I'm going to the Father. You're going to do greater things than I have done. Now, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Can I get a witness? And Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than these. And he says, receive the, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And the Holy Spirit is truly what transforms you and makes you different from anybody else on this planet. That you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Jesus talked at length about the Holy Spirit. Back in chapter 14, talks about the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. In fact, Paul says that the man without the Spirit cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Now, if you have difficulty comprehending this book, the challenge to you this morning is whether or not you have believed and whether or not you have received the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will guide you and unlock the truths of this book. The Holy Spirit will give you comfort and fullness and shalom in your life, that you won't be alone anymore. Do you embrace him? Do you follow him? Holy Spirit guides us into a new purpose. I was sent, so you are sent. You'll do greater things than me. And Paul says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit when we believe. Disciples move from fear to hope. And if you're living in fear, there is that opportunity for you. Disciples move from fear to truth. Bible says perfect love drives out fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. These men are transformed by the truth of the gospel. We can be transformed by the truth of the gospel. And it is a crazy place out there. There is bad people that are out there doing bad things. And I'm telling you today that God is the remedy for fear. That God is the remedy for unbelief. And that you can have that today. But it is not about going backwards. It is about going forwards. It is not about fixing your past. It is about finding a new future. And so many of us don't want to let go. Jesus said, if you love your life more than me, you're not worthy of me. But if you surrender your life for me and for the gospel, I'll give you a new life. Now, I told you about that football game I went to on Friday night. And I was in Encinitas, and the game was in Escondido. And it was 6, and 78 was a parking lot. So I was taking the back roads, going by Lake Hodges. This guy gave me directions. And for those of you who are directionally challenged, maybe like me, Encinitas is southwest of Escondido. So I'm going northeast to get to Escondido. So I'm taking S9, driving, feeling good. And I see this sign that I can take S8. And I think, this looks like a good turn. It'll probably save me some time. And I was rushing to try and get there for kickoff. So I take that turn. And I'm going, it says four miles, windy turns, you know, and I'm going, okay, fast. And I look up, luckily for me, God gave me this car. It had a little compass on it. And I'm driving, and I see I'm going south. And I got this little concern in my heart, going the wrong way. And I'm still driving, and then pretty soon I'm driving west. And I see references to Del Mar. No. And I'd gone 4 miles on this road, right? And I immediately stop, do an about face, and go back to where I made that turn and get back on the right road. Thomas had made the wrong turn. He was becoming an unbeliever. Jesus let him know. Jesus stood before him on the road to unbelief and said, here are the nail marks in my hands and the cut of my side. Are you sure you want to go this direction? See, the disciples had heard the message of Mary Magdalene that Jesus was raised from the dead, and they didn't care. They gathered in fear. There was no anticipation of the resurrection of the Lord. There was no expectation that he would find them, that he would reveal himself to them that day. There was only fear. Lisa, would you come on up here and play, please? Some of you are here today, and you are becoming an unbeliever. You are on the path to unbelief. And the Lord Jesus Christ stands before you today and says, here's the nail marks in my hand. Here is the slice on my side. Do you want to continue this path? And he says, stop becoming an unbeliever. Some of you, he has shown that, and you sit here in the midst of confusion. And he says, it is truly I. Here's my ID. I am here for you, and I offer you shalom. Safety and fullness and peace. Will you let go of your past? Will you let go of your prejudices? Will you let go of all your trust and truth and all that in this world? Would you cast all that off? And would you grab onto me? Because in me, you can have shalom. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord. Lord, and I thank you that you are indeed truly raised from the dead, Lord, that you truly hung on the cross, Lord, that your nail-marked hands, Lord, prove that beyond a doubt, that the cut in your side, Lord, verifies, Lord, the gospel accounts of your death on the cross, Lord. And Lord, as we read about your disciples, you know, just rejecting the word and Thomas even being so small as to be gone and miss, I just read truth in that and reality and trust in that, Lord. And I see in Thomas, Lord, the ability for each one of us, Lord, to come out of error and come back into truth. And maybe you are here this morning and you are just struggling. Maybe you come in here this morning and you are just like, you're headed to Del Mar. You are on the wrong road. And the Lord is just saying, stop. Turn around. You are headed in the wrong direction. Stop becoming an unbeliever. Here I am. I speak directly to your heart this morning. I speak directly to your soul this morning. I have come that you might have shalom. And if you're lacking that in your life, and the Lord is making that clear to you this morning, that you need him, that you can indeed cast off your past and grab onto a new future. There is an opportunity for you to be transformed by the truth in the same way the disciples were transformed in that little house 2,000 years ago when the Lord came and stood among them. Because the Lord stands among us this morning, reaches out a nail-pierced hand to you and says, my child, shalom. And nobody's looking around right now. But the Lord is just reaching his hand out to you, and you're saying, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, I feel so stupid. And you can be like Thomas. You can move from doubt into belief. You can reach your hand up, and you can put it in that nail-pierced hand that reaches down from heaven and says, my child, come with me. 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 Come with me.